church is in Africa, at the service of reconciliation, peace and justice.
The church is in Africa, at the service of reconciliation, peace and justice.
This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
In this edition today, our bulletin of church news that will be followed by panorama and then our future of development and the economy. Today we shall close with a gospel reflection by Father Enobong Edaidong. My name is Kanyanta Godfrey Kampamba. Pope Francis says that this year he wants to dedicate the World Communications Day to the theme of storytelling. In order not to get lost, we must make the truth of good stories our own. He says, these are stories that build up and help us find our roots and the strength that will help us to move forward together. The Holy Father made this statement in his Friday tweet, which is a direct reference to his message for the World Communications Day that the Vatican published on Friday. In the message, the Pope is urging the faithful to say no to false and destructive stories, and rather tell the good that unites. The message of the Holy Father for the 54th World Communications Day has as its theme that you may tell your children and grandchildren, life becomes history, based on the book of Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 2. In the message, the Pope highlights the value of storytelling, underscoring how urgent it is for the Catholic world and for all the people of goodwill to overcome the temptation of destructive stories. The annual day, which is marked on the Sunday before Pentecost, falls on May 24th this year. Stories can help us understand and communicate who we are, because we human beings are storytellers who need to be clothed with stories in order to protect our lives. Pope Francis emphasizes in his message for the World Communications Day 2020, the publication of the Holy Father's message on Friday coincided with the memorial of St. Francis de Sales, who is the patron saint of journalists. Pope Francis concludes his message with a prayer to Mary so that she can listen to our stories and cherish them. He implores the Virgin Mary to unite the tangled knots in our life and help us build stories of peace that point to the future. On Friday morning, Pope Francis celebrated Mass in the chapel of the Santa Marta residence at the Vatican, reflecting on the scripture reading of the day. In his homily, Pope Francis warned of the worm of jealousy that, he said, leads to misjudgment and competition. Francesca Mello reports.
We must be careful of the jealousy and envy that lead us to misjudge others.
Ci viene l'invidia, la gelosia.
Pope Francis began his homily at Mass in the Casa Santa Marta by explaining that these two words are the seed of war.
Il seme di una guerra.
His message comes from the Gospel reading, which describes how King Saul's jealousy of David fades. Referring to the reading, the Pope recalls that the king's jealousy comes from the fact that although he had killed 10,000 enemies and David only 1,000, the young women sang songs about David's victories. This, said the Pope, is where the restlessness of jealousy begins. Jealousies are criminals, said Pope Francis. They are always trying to kill. And to those who say, yes, I'm jealous, but I'm not a murderer, the Pope replies, not yet. But if you continue, it can end badly. Because, he recalls, it is easy to kill, even with your tongue, with slander. Those who are jealous, said the Pope, are incapable of seeing reality, and only a very strong fact can open their eyes. So in Saul's mind, jealousy led him to believe that David was a murderer, an enemy. When someone who is jealous finally encounters this fact, this reality, said the Pope, it is a grace from God. When this happens, jealousy bursts like a soap bubble, because jealousy and envy have no consistency.
La gelosia scoppia come una bolla di sapone, perché la gelosia e la invidia non hanno consistenza.
He explained that jealousy is born of a conversation with oneself, misinterpreting things in a way that prevents us from seeing reality. When God gives us the grace to see the reality of the situation, he invites us to look at ourselves, said the Pope. We must protect our hearts from this illness, from this conversation with oneself. We must be careful of this worm that enters each one of us, he said, adding that when we feel this distaste for someone, we must ask ourselves why.
Siamo attenti, perché questo è un verme che entra nel cuore di tutti noi.
Finally, Pope Francis prayed to the Lord that we may have the grace of having a transparent heart, a friendly one, he added, that seeks only justice and peace.
Cerca la giustizia, cerca la pace.
I am Francesca Merlo.
Pope Francis on Thursday received in audience the prefect of the Congregation for the Causes of Saints, Cardinal Angelo Becciu. Following their encounter, the Holy Father authorized the promulgation of 8 decrees that take the cause of 19 men and women closer to sainthood. All these cases involve men and women killed in Spain and Guatemala in hatred of the faith. The martyrdom of 13 of them has been cleared for beatification, and with the recognition of the heroic virtues, the other 6 candidates will now be called Venerable Servants of God, or simply Venerable. Let's go towards peace. This is the theme of the March for Peace that has been called by the Archbishop of Abidjan in Ivory Coast, Cardinal Jean-Pierre Coutoua. The march is planned for February 15, 2020. Over 20,000 young Catholics are invited to take part in this march, which will be the first of its kind in the history of the Catholic Church in the Ivory Coast. The call for the march comes just a few months before the presidential elections, which most people consider to be at high risk of encountering difficulties. The march will take place 2 years after the big gathering of young people from the Archdiocese of Abidjan at the Félix Houphouët-Boigny Stadium on March 4, 2018. That youth meeting saw the participation of about 35,000 young people. In their message published at the end of the 114th Plenary Assembly held from 13th to 19th January, the bishops expressed their concern for the socio-political situation in the country a few months before the presidential elections in October, and launched an appeal for national pacification. Cardinal Jean-Pierre Coutoua, in a statement, said that the march will be an opportunity for young people and the faithful in general to raise awareness about peace and pray for elections so that it takes place peacefully. You are tuned to the Daily Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
African News Panorama.
And I'm Paul Samasumo. Authorities in Uganda are advising members of the public to stock up on food as a precautionary measure following an imminent locust invasion. Reports on Wednesday indicated that swarms of locusts had now reached Kenya's Samburu and the Turkana areas and would soon head towards Uganda. Locusts can cover as much as 150 kilometers a day, and a swarm of locusts is capable of destroying crop meant to feed 250,000 people over a period of 1 year. The Kenyan government has over the last month been struggling to contain the locust invasion. Kenya's Agricultural Principal Secretary, Hamadi Boga, on Thursday said that the country was unable to cope due to limited financial resources. A typical swarm of desert locusts can contain up to 150 million insects per square kilometer, and with wind can cover between 100 and 150 kilometers a day. Kenya has not seen anything like this invasion in 70 years, while for Ethiopia and Somalia, this is the worst invasion in 25 years. In Lesotho, hundreds of mainly opposition supporters have protested Thursday in Lesotho's capital of Maseru, demanding that Prime Minister Thomas Tabane resigns his position. The protests come as Prime Minister Thomas Tabane was questioned by police over the 2017 murder of his former wife, Lipolelo Tabane. Police in the small southern African kingdom are also looking to arrest the current First Lady in connection with the killing. Prime Minister Tabane married the current First Lady, Ma Esaya Tabane, just 2 months after the death of Lipolelo. The Prime Minister last week agreed to resign, but going by the protests Thursday, the people now want him gone immediately. They also accuse his government of, among other things, not respecting the rule of law. Media reports in Zimbabwe say the European Union ambassador to Zimbabwe, Timo Okonen, has called for an urgent political dialogue between the government and the country's main opposition if the country is to be rescued from an imminent humanitarian crisis. Over 7 million people in the country need food aid due to last year's crop failure. The EU ambassador addressed a press conference in Zimbabwe's second largest city, Bulawayo, on Wednesday. During the press conference, Okonen said the country would not make any progress if all the politicians did not come together in dialogue for the benefit of the people. Opposition MDC leader Nelson Chamisa on Tuesday said he was committed to genuine dialogue between him and President Emmerson Mnangagwa in order to take Zimbabwe out of its economic predicament. The EU ambassador is also urging Zimbabwe's government to follow the Hlalema Monhlanhle Commission, among whose recommendations were the implementation of electoral and political reforms, as well as the prosecution of soldiers who fatally shot 6 civilians in the post-election violence of 1 August 2018. You are tuned to the English Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
This is Development and Economy, and you are welcome to the program. My name is Kanyan Tagodifri Kampamba. Implementing the Global Strategy and Action Plan on Aging and Health will contribute to the realization of the Sustainable Development Goals. These goals were adopted by all United Nations member states in 2015. They provide a shared plan for peace and prosperity for people and the planet in order to secure the future we want for present and future generations. A commitment to the Sustainable Development Goals, therefore, means a commitment to health, aging, and a commitment to taking concerted actions to formulate evidence-based policies across all sectors that strengthen the abilities of older persons. In view of that important reality, and in response to the call by Pope Francis for the elderly to become protagonists, the Vatican has organized an international conference on the pastoral care of the elderly. The theme of the 29th to 31st January 2020 meeting is the richness of many years of life. The gathering will focus on how to deal with the culture of discarding the elderly, as well as their role in the family and their particular vocation in the church. This international conference is organized under the auspices of the Dicastery for the Laity, Family and Life. Those attending the forum include representatives of episcopal conferences, religious congregations, associations, and lay movements from around the world involved in this pastoral work. The prefect of the Dicastery for the Laity, Family and Life is Cardinal Kevin Farrell. In an interview with Vatican Radio ahead of the conference, Cardinal Farrell said that our contemporary throwaway culture tends to set people aside. He acknowledged the fact that even in the church, the elderly are sometimes forgotten, adding that they need to become protagonists because of the great experience that they have for the many years of life.
What does it mean for the elderly to become protagonists in the vision of Pope Francis?
Well, I think the title, The Richness of Many Years of Life, gives us all a certain amount of experience with life. And in the church, they have been forgotten, the elderly, in many ways. Anybody that's worked in a parish, especially in very developed countries, know that the elderly live a very lonely existence. They are sometimes put aside. Pope Francis has called it, you know, the throwaway culture, which means they are just set aside. Even happens in some of our parishes, happens in dioceses, happens everywhere. The elderly are seen as, you know, a burden sometimes, a burden to families, a burden to society, and a burden to the church. And there's this kind of underlying philosophy of life that kind of pushes them to the side. They need to become protagonists because of the great experience that they have for the many years of life. I believe that what Pope Francis means by that is that we need to, first of all, care for the elderly. We need to have, you know, programs in all of our parishes to care and to support the elderly. How would we like it, you know, if we felt abandoned, living in on our own. Family maybe exists, but in different parts of the world, and they're left alone. In a world that's ever-changing, a world that's ever-migrating from one nation to another, young people go from here to there, they're away from their families. And so it can be a very, very trying and difficult situation. Now, for them to become protagonists, the church needs to care for them. The church needs to reach out to them. And that's one of the reasons we're having this seminar, is to reach out and to the world and see what exactly is happening in the church. Should they become protagonists? I think it's very important to use the many years of experience that some elderly have within the church. I think many times of the need that the church has nowadays to bring young people up in the faith. Grandparents, because the generation of the 30s and the 40s and even the 50s sometimes don't know too much about their faith. Whereas people who have lived the Catholic faith for so many years has so much to offer. And we need to make them the protagonists within the church, in the sense that not the protagonists that they're going to be great, but they should be, you know, helped to find a sense of life in the reality of the world today. I think that's what Pope Francis means, and that's why he encouraged us and asked us to do something and then to speak. Our work is to deal with conferences of bishops and individual bishops around the world and to promote some kind of an apostolate, some kind of outreach to the elderly. There's been a lot of interest in this. I mean, when you think we have 550 coming from 60 different countries. That to me is stunning.
Thank you. And one of the things, too, that Pope Francis has talked about is that with the aging of the population, where we see people living longer with all of that entails, the Pope said that Christian spirituality has been a little bit caught by surprise. Yes. What does that mean, that the church is catching up with a new reality in the world today?
Well, it has to catch up because we were totally focused in many places in the world just on the young people. Now, we should be focused on the young people. They are the future. They are the church. They're not the future of the church. They are the church today. But we also have the richness of the years of experience of this whole segment of the population. And we have in the past, and I think we have to confess, I as a priest who worked for many years in a parish in Washington, D.C., where we had in apartment building after apartment building elderly people, I would say, and I have to confess, that it was the smallest aspect of the apostolic life or the pastoral life of our parish, where care for the elderly. You know, because we just didn't do it. We would go to what we used to call, which is a terrible word to use, the shut-ins, as we used to call them. We used to organize Meals on Wheels, and we would organize once a month to bring them communion. But really, there was never any special effort to care for them. And I admit that when I was a priest there, I didn't think I spent my life with young people. So I think it's an awakening within the church of the need for us to be specific and to deal with the fastest growing population in the world today.
One of the aspects of the seminar that you're organizing is what exactly pastoral care is going to look like, or might look like, as it is something new. In a few words, what would you suggest as openings or possibilities for how to begin to promote a culture of pastoral care for the aged?
Well, that's the question that I cannot answer to you in this particular moment. But after we have, our seminar is focused basically on listening to what people are doing in different parts of the world. I would hope that the result of this seminar, this gathering, will be we will listen and will be that we will establish some recommendations and guidelines to be used within the church for different conferences of bishops and all those who need our assistance.
Prefect of the Dicastery for the Laity, Family and Life, Cardinal Kevin Farrell, talking to Vatican Radio's Christopher Wells about the importance of commitment to the Sustainable Development Goals, Healthy Aging, and the Vatican International Conference on the Elderly. And that is all for today from me, Kanyanta Godfrey Kampamba.
Coming up next, a reflection on this Sunday's readings, prepared and presented by Father Enobong Udaidyong.
The Gospel presents an important aspect of the earthly life of Jesus, that is, the beginning of his public ministry. Like John, Jesus also began his public ministry by calling all to repentance. Christ's message was very simple, he said. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. This invitation is to everyone who aspires for the reign of God's kingdom. Conversion is an important part of our Christian calling, the very act of leaving one's old way of life in order to become a new creature in Christ and through him become members of God's kingdom can be said to be conversion. In the Gospel of Matthew chapter 4, Jesus took his invitation to the seashore. There he met these sets of brothers, Peter and Andrew, then James and John, sons of Zebedee, all fishermen whom he called. The evangelist says they left their nets and boats and followed him. What did he say that really captivated them so that they abandoned their trade and followed him? This trend did not stop with these four. He did the same with the other disciples, and they all left everything and followed him. Jesus is still calling many today. Some respond positively and others are yet to do so. Immediately I ask, which camp do you belong? There are two camps, those who have responded effectively and positively, and then those who are yet to respond. There are many in today's world who have some reasons why they cannot accept the invitation to new life in Christ. Could it be that the many of us who claim to be in Christ are yet to understand what new life in Christ really means? The new life in Christ should influence the life in the Christian community such that the kind of dissensions that St. Paul was condemning in his first letter to the Corinthians chapter 1 gives way to unity and love. The fruits of the new life in Christ make us Christians light in the darkness and proponents of progress in the society. Therefore, as Christ called these four brothers and they left everything and followed Jesus, what are we in this generation living to become disciples of Christ? It is not enough to go to the church every day. It is not enough to speak eloquently about Jesus. It is more about contributing to the good of the society. The impact of the gospel message will be felt if every Christian takes Christ as the model. Apollos or Paul is not the model. The bishop or priest is not the model. Christ is the model. It is he who calls. We are following him under the guide of the sacred pastors. the way we all respond to this call to new life in Christ will be seen in the things we do. The Lord Jesus says, "By their fruits you shall know them." The acceptance of the gospel means we have to repent of dissension, strife, violence, hatred, calumny, and the likes. We become like Christ, bridge builders, instruments of peace, masterminders of progress, proponents of justice and equity, sustenance of hope of the less privileged, liberators of the oppressed. The world of today cries out in need of disciples who act according to the mind of Christ and His church. The words of Mahatma Gandhi become important for us to reflect on how much of Christ we are in the things we do. He says, "I like your Christ. I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ." So we pray, "O Lord, I want to be like Jesus Christ. Give me a Christ-like heart." May the message of Christ in all its richness continue to find a home in our hearts through the same Christ, our Lord. Amen. Peace be with you.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus.
This is the Africa Service of Vatican Radio, and I am Kanyanta Godfrey Kampamba. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.